Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
On a second. There we go. All right, yeah. Got to hit that microphone button here first thing in the AM. Hey, we had a great conversation yesterday in the 7 o'clock hour of the show with Alex Pfeiffer, a deputy White House communications director, talking about President Trump's first 100 days. And we got another great one for you right now. Montana's U.S. Senator Steve Daines joining us live on Montana Talks. Senator, great to have you as always.
Hey, good morning, Aaron. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, how would you recap President Trump's first 100 days? And, hey, it's been a bit of a sprint for the U.S. senators in the first 100 days as well.
It has been. You know, we're batting 1,000 here in the Senate for President Trump. Every single one of his nominations has moved through, and that's so important to get his great team in place. But I'll tell you, back here in Washington, it's like every hour is a new day. The velocity of which President Trump is moving, it's the liberal minds are exploding as they watch what he's doing every hour. In 100 days, he's delivering win after win. I'll tell you what's not being talked about enough, Aaron, is what's happening down that southern border. Border crossings all-time low under President Trump's watch. And remember that famous line, we needed a change in policies, we needed a new president. That's exactly what happened. He delivered that result. Unleashing American energy, gas prices are now down. We're seeing more production. He saved Colstrip. Let's talk about that for a moment. The Biden administration was dead set on shuttering Colstrip. And thanks to President Trump's leadership, Lee Zeldin, our EPA administrator, executive orders reversing some of these terrible regulations would have shut down Colstrip. And by the way, take a look what happened to Europe when Spain and Portugal went dark this week because they put all their chips on the renewable energy bet and it failed. They nearly sent all of Europe dark this week. It was an act of God, a miracle that all of Europe wasn't dark because of this blackout. And that goes back to putting all of their emphasis on renewable source of energy only instead of reliable baseload power like coal and nuclear. And then let's not forget how Trump has really kicked Joe Biden's woke policies to the curb. It is so nice to get back to the reality and the truth. There are two genders, Aaron, and it's nice talking to our military leaders. It is such a relief for military leaders not to have to be always looking over their shoulders with these crazy woke policies. How about women in sports? Nice to see that we're keeping the men out. It's just this nonsense from the left. So it's just refreshing to see President Trump's leadership and, importantly, the results.
Yeah, you mentioned the military. I just saw the latest on the Army's recruitment numbers from Fox News Radio the other day. Ahead of the summer surge, the Army has already reached 85% of their FY25 goals. About 15 seconds to go. Well, actually, let me just hold that thought here before we go to the break, and we'll talk more with Senator Steve Daines right after this. But, yeah, hearing Senator Daines do this whole roll-up, this whole wrap-up of the first 100 days, and, of course, that's just the Cliff Notes version. You guys know there is a ton that we can cover, and we'll cover more here right after this. But it's not just an America first 100 days. It's a Montana first. First 100 days with coal and so much more. Stand by, back after this.
Securing America.
U.S. NATO Ambassador Matthew Whitaker spoke about the state of the alliance Sunday following NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte's visit to Washington this past week. Whitaker reiterating President Trump's stance concerning NATO funding while appearing on Fox's Sunday Morning Futures.
I think our European allies and Canada understand that they need to do a lot more.
Whitaker adding where he thinks additional funding should be spent.
That money needs to be dedicated to lethality, warfighting.
He said the reason is simple.
We have a dangerous world. You mentioned Iran, you know, China. Russia is obviously threatening our European allies especially.
And that our allies understand the most important thing.
The American people are an ally, that we stand for freedom and liberty all over this globe.
NATO's next summit will be held in the Netherlands in June. Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby, a federal program which pays rent for some 60,000 families and individuals fleeing homelessness or domestic violence could end soon. The program is called Emergency Housing Vouchers. It's running out of money, and fast. Funding is expected to be exhausted by the end of the year, according to the Department of Housing and Urban Development. That would leave tens of thousands of people across the country scrambling to pay their rent. There's concern it could turn people who receive benefits from the program to the streets or back into abusive relationships. The future of the program rests with Congress. Lawmakers could decide to add money as it crafts federal spending for the new fiscal year, which begins in the fall. But it's a relatively expensive program at a time when Republicans who control Congress are dead set on cutting federal spending to afford tax cuts. Maxine Waters of California is the top Democrat on the House Financial Services Committee. She is pushing for another $8 billion infusion. But the organization's lobbying Republicans and Democrats on Capitol Hill to re-up the funding is not optimistic. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News. Spring is...
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, speaking of the southern border, we had a great conversation with Allie Bradley talking about the northern border. She is a News Nation TV correspondent who is in Whitefish. Senator Steve Daines, I think Governor Gianforte told us that he's heard that there's roughly 1,000 illegal aliens that they estimate are in Montana, mostly in the Gallatin Valley. Talk about what you've been seeing and hearing, because obviously it's a brand new day. ICE now, the Border Patrol now finally able to do their jobs instead of being diverted to process illegals into this country, they're getting illegals out of this country.
Look, this is one of these issues that's right literally in our backyards in Montana. Remember, just this past February, ICE agents went in and arrested and deported six members of the Trendy Aragua gang. That's that violent gang from Venezuela. This is a gang that was created back in 2014 in the prisons in Venezuela. These are hardened criminals. This is organized crime. This is drug trafficking, human trafficking. These are the worst of the worst right there in Bozeman, and we had some in Kalispell as well. It's interesting, when I chatted with our Gallatin County law enforcement, these amazing men and women on the front lines protecting us, they told me that under Joe Biden's watch, ICE would not come up and do these busts and these deportations. They knew about these hardened criminals here illegally, and ICE, the ICE teams down in Denver, the Biden team basically said, you know, you don't go in there and go after these guys. It's awful. And then as soon as President Trump was elected, guess what happened? ICE starts to roll. They're starting to roll these guys up, get them out of here, and make our community safer. So this is yet one more example of a direct cause and effect of this past election. And by the way, Aaron, I just got to give a shout out to my new battle buddy here in Washington, Tim Sheehy. It is so refreshing. When we go down and vote in the Senate floor, Tim and I are voting the same way, supporting every one of Trump's nominations, every one of Trump's policies. And you remember when John Chestnut was back here, we canceled each other's votes out most of the time. And that's not a personal attack. It's just a fact. You look at our voting records. And I tell you, it's such a breath of fresh air to have Tim Sheehy here. He's been a wonderful addition to the U.S. Senate. And we're flying in tight formation here with an American First agenda supporting President Trump.
By the way, I saw a great video. Senator Sheehy did the pond skim at Big Sky Ski Resort. He skied in the pond skim along with one of his boys, and I shared that video on X, and somebody said, you know, a lot of those U.S. senators would have broken a hip if they tried to do that. A testament to young man there.
I think it would have been worth probably a fatality for most of the senators who she hated there. For sure.
Yeah, anyway, that was pretty funny. But the economy, you know, we got a great young man filling in as our producer this week, Finley Warden. You know, Chris and Lori in Missoula, great family. So Finley's right. Filling in. But anyway, I asked him, I said, hey, what should we ask Senator Steve Daines? He said, what about a foreign policy question? India, Pakistan. And I just saw Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent says there's about to be some very good news with an India trade deal, which could be big for Montana.
It is. Well, look, this is what's happening is President Trump's disrupting the global order in going after generational kind of trade barriers, these tariff and non-tariff barriers. But India is an example. I mean, of course, you got 1.4 billion people. There are more people now in India than in China, because China put in place that one-child policy, so their population is actually declining. India's keeps growing. That's a lot of mouths to feed. And if you're a Montana producer of pulse crops, that is a great market for us to get better access to. So they're on the cusp of announcing new trade deals with India. I got to give you a quick story, too, about Vietnam. I made a trip through Hanoi here back in March. I met with their top leader. He's called Do Lam, is the top leader in Vietnam. He says, Senator, we want to buy 200 Boeing airplanes. We want to buy three C-130Js. We want to buy $5 billion American LNG. We want to buy U.S. beef, U.S. wheat, U.S. barley. And we want to take our tariffs to zero for American products. Now, that's a tremendous deal for America. That's yet another one of these deals that's in the works right now as we speak because of President Trump's leadership. And so this is how we use this bold tariff moves that Trump has used as a means to the end. And the end would be lower tariffs, lower non-tariff barriers, and allowing better access for American producers to get in these markets. We can never forget that 95% of the world's population lives outside the United States. You think about the future of Montana agriculture will be in getting access to these international markets.
About 1 minute to go here with Montana's U.S. Senator Steve Daines. I just shared on X yesterday a great letter by you and the entire four-man Republican congressional delegation from Montana backing the Stillwater mine and telling President Trump about the importance of that mine. Why was that letter so significant right now?
The only producer in the United States of platinum and palladium is the Stillwater mine right there in our great state. It was Joe Biden's anti-energy policies that led to the layoff of nearly 700 employees at that mine. It was disastrous. I introduced a bill that would ban the import of these critical minerals from Russia. Russia is flooding the market below market prices and is putting these miners out of work. So I led this letter yesterday with Senator Sheehy, with Congressman Downing, with Congressman Zinke, explaining the importance of this mine, highlighting to President Trump why it's absolutely crucial that the mine continues operating. This is one of these critical minerals we need for America, and we cannot be dependent here on Russians who are right now trying to destroy our mining industry. And by the way, when we're buying Russian palladium platinum, we're funding the Russian efforts in Ukraine. So there's a lot of reasons why we got to shut this down.
Senator Daines, appreciate your time. Great to have you on the show as always. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Aaron. Yep, good for having you. Bye-bye.
News Nation was on the ground in Whitefish, Montana, as Border Patrol agents with the Spokane sector apprehended several illegal aliens. Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. We got permission from News Nation. We're going to share that report for you on Friday's Montana Talks. For the rest of the hour, we'll have the phone lines open for you. Open Lines Friday right here on Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk. Taking you statewide right here every Monday through Friday, 9 to 10 a.m.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With partial sun and some cloudiness today, we'll see some scattered showers possible around the area. Otherwise, high temperatures will stay in the mid-50s in Bozeman, around 60 in Billings. Still seeing a few showers possible into tonight, followed by lows in the mid-30s to around 40. Spotty shower chance Thursday, mainly towards Billings, otherwise partly cloudy, with highs in the mid-upper 60s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
The Atlantic published its cover story on President Trump yesterday. It's online. And the most interesting thing about it is how this liberal magazine, and especially editor-in-chief Jeffrey Goldberg, who was part of the team and the subject of a charm offensive from the president, got the story in the first place. Reporters Ashley Parker and Michael Shearer called Trump's cell phone. The most interesting soundbite from the president is that all of those investigations helped him. And whereas in the first term, people were trying to block him, now he says, I run the country and I run the world. It was fair. And that was the test. Was it fair? That's how they got the interview. Possible president will disagree. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Morning. Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Ag Report. I'm Russell Nemitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Ag Network. Well, first things first here on this Wednesday morning, we want to welcome on board a brand new affiliate this morning, KAPK Radio 102.7 FM in Pinedale, Wyoming. Welcome to the Western Ag Network team, and thank you for helping us serve America's most essential industry, agriculture, nowadays on 121 radio affiliates in 10 states. Well, U.S. Senators John Thune of South Dakota and Tina Smith of Minnesota have reintroduced the Strengthening Local Processing Act, legislation that would provide support to America's small meat and poultry processors to help strengthen and upgrade their operations. The bill, they say, would give small meat processors more access to information that's critical to food safety planning, allow for more inspector-approved meat products to be sold across state lines, and direct resources toward training, education, as well as technical assistance grants. Well, sheep producers have spoke, and the University of Wyoming Extension have answered the call. That's because the Wyoming Sheep Task Force is now here to tackle real issues like predator losses, labor shortages, processing challenges, and market shifts. This boots-on-the-ground team of Extension educators, researchers, and ranchers is working together to support sustainable and profitable sheep producers across the state of Wyoming and beyond. And you can learn more about the Wyoming Sheep Task Force by visiting the University of Wyoming's Extension Sheep Program's Facebook page. Stay with us. We'll have more Ag News right after this.
The American Land Board wants 2025 to be the best year yet for education. Land Checkoff funded programs include workshops and summits aimed at equipping sheep producers with the necessary tools and resources to profitably grow their operations. Like the American Lamb Summit, July 22nd through 25th, University of Idaho in Moscow. Event highlights include defining lamb quality and hitting carcass targets and increasing production efficiency. Learn more and register at lambboard.com.
The Northern Pulse Growers Association and Northern Crops Institute invite you to join the Pulse Potential Webinar Series. The webinars focus on providing education on pulse production and use with the goal of increasing consumer demand and expanding pulse production through new growers. Topics include the use and benefits of pulse crops, trends and innovations, market drivers, and the path from producer to processor. Check out the schedule and register for the next webinar at northern-crops.com/webinars.
Well, the National Corn Growers Association is disappointed in this week's decision by the International Trade Commission, affirming that Corteva AgriScience was harmed by imports of a critical herbicide called 2,4-D. The decision means that duties will now be placed on imports of the herbicide at a final rate determined later by the Commerce Department. NCGA says that the decision threatens to cause availability shortages. And finally this morning, it looks like the U.S. and Mexico have reached an agreement on how to handle a damaging livestock pest called New World Screwworm. Reuters says the agreement was reached only after Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins threatened to limit Mexican cattle imports coming through the southern U.S. border. Screwworms can infect livestock, wildlife, and in rare cases, even infect people. That's your Daybreak Ag Report. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nemitz.
Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, great update there from Montana's U.S. Senator Steve Daines from the first 100 days to a developing India trade deal. That will absolutely be huge and much more. So great to catch up with him. What's your reactions to what you just heard? You can give us a call, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app as well if you want to jump in on it. By the way, I referenced our conversation with Allie Bradley from News Nation. And I've been seeing News Nation a lot. I think the Trump War Room has shared some of their reporting. They've got an interesting team. I think they've got, you know, folks from the left and the right. They've got Cuomo as a part of their team coming from the left. I think they've got like Bill O'Reilly and some other big names on the right. But Allie Bradley was up in Whitefish tagging along with the Border Patrol as they detained several illegal aliens. And here's part of what she told us when she joined us on the show Friday.
Yeah, what was really interesting is we were really, really fortunate to be the first national media to be able to go out with these individuals, the Border Patrol out here, to see them conduct these targeted enforcement operations. And we were there when one individual was in a vehicle, he was a target, so they knew exactly kind of where he was. You know, it takes days, sometimes months, to isolate these targets, to track their whereabouts, the vehicles that they might be in. There's a lot of intel that goes behind this where they're working with ICE and HSI to isolate and identify these targets. One of the individuals, he was a man from Mexico. He was in the passenger side of the vehicle. The driver was from Venezuela with temporary protected status. So he was kind of legally going through a process. So they had to let him go. They were legally obligated to do so and allow him to go through his process. But they took the other individual into custody, and then moments later, there were five other individuals. That was our initial primary target, was the driver, who had been deported at least four times. He had encounters with Border Patrol and removed back to Mexico. And he was actually running business in Whitefish illegally, hiring illegal immigrants to work for him. So all of those five individuals in that car, the four were, you know, kind of collateral, but they believe those were individuals that he was hiring to work for him here illegally as well. So all of those individuals were apprehended in a single day out here in Whitefish. And it was really interesting because I asked the chief, Chief Jason Levy, what, you know, if we were seeing more people living here illegally, what was going on as to why we were seeing kind of an increase in these arrests? And it's not necessarily because there's a surge of illegal immigrants. That's already here, right? The interior issue, you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. They're in the country. But they were not able to go out and find them because they were so busy helping with the surge at the southern border, whether they were deployed down to the southern border from up here. So the people were kind of just here without any kind of checks and balances because Border Patrol was not running around out here, or they were tied up in virtual processing so that they could assist with the surge that was happening at the southern border. So you're going to see a lot more arrests of illegal immigrants in these communities because agents are actually able to go out and do their job right now. And so,
all right, let's hold it right there. I'll share a little bit more with our conversation with Allie Bradley right after this Fox News update here. And President Trump showing up basically doing a rally in Michigan, and the Democrat governor of Michigan, Gretchen Whitmer, actually showed up. And then she stepped on the stage with President Trump, and President Trump actually had some nice things to say about her. So that was kind of interesting. Remember when she was at the White House at the Oval Office just a few weeks ago, and she got kind of mocked relentlessly for at first kind of trying to hide her face and kind of, you know, doing the baby steps into the Oval Office. Now she's like, forget it. Let's do it. We're all in now. We're getting on the stage with President Trump. So that was pretty interesting there. All right, Allie Bradley, News Nation, the correspondent, national correspondent. She's been covering the southern border, but you know she is fully aware of the problems on our northern border as well. Here's more of her reporting when she joined us on Montana Talks.
Agents are actually able to go out and do their job right now. And so that is what they were able to do. Everything kind of went by the book that they expected to happen. The chief saying, you know, it was a good day and everyone went home safely. And that's what they hope for whenever they're going out on these operations, you know. And again, they are targeted individuals. They're not going up, you know, in random traffic stops, going up and knocking on doors and asking people for their papers. They knew exactly who these individuals were before they even came, you know, encounter them.
Yeah, what I found the most fascinating from your report was what you just mentioned, because your national audience, I'm sure, is like, what? Illegal aliens in Whitefish, Montana, this beautiful ski town and lake town, and used to be known as a railroad town and a logging town, but it's all the above, really. But that's what they would be interested in, whereas for me as a Montana guy, it's like, wow, you just got confirmation from the local Border Patrol officials that they were deliberately being diverted from doing their job protecting the northern border to simply processing illegal aliens into this country, not blocking criminal illegals from coming into this country, but processing their paperwork. And because there was a time when the number of
suspects on the terrorist watch list crossing the northern border were bigger in number than the southern border.
All right. Yeah, you can check out the full audio of our conversation with Ali Bradley. Go to MontanaTalks.com for that full audio interview. Hey, got a great deal going for you right now. You got to hear about this one. This is their biggest sale of the year. This is a once-a-year event. I'm talking about YHIC, Your Home Improvement Company. They've got an unbeatable deal going on. 50% off your window purchase, plus free labor with a minimum of four windows. It's a deal you don't want to miss, especially if you got hit with those high energy bills because of the cold air seeping through your windows. Same thing will happen this summer if you don't get it fixed. They've also got easy financing, zero down, zero interest, and zero payments for 12 months. That's until 2026. Call 406-948-2836 today to schedule your free in-home consultation. Again, this is their biggest sale of the year. Don't miss out. Let me repeat, 50% off your window purchase plus free labor, minimum of four windows, 406-948-2836. You're going to love the difference with Your Home Improvement Company. Go to YHIC.com.
Tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, earlier we talked with Montana's U.S. Senator Steve Daines, recapping President Trump's first 100 days. I like also what Governor Greg Gianforte had to say about President Trump's next 100 days. So I'll get to that. I know it's buried here in my stack of stuff somewhere. I haven't even organized my stack of stuff yet for the morning here because we've just been jumping right into it. One story I did want to find, since we just had the Farm and Ranch report, I can always save it for after the Farm and Ranch report later on in the 7 o'clock hour as well. But there was a story about the Montana legislature and some of the what they're calling cattle bills that are coming out of the Montana legislature. So that's a topic we've covered before, so definitely want to give you an update on that front. Real quickly here, and then we'll get, jump right into your phone calls, 406-294-0970. You can also message us on the Montana Talks app. We were talking with Senator Daines about President Trump's first 100 days. The Trump War Room sharing Speaker of the House Mike Johnson's recap of President Trump's first 100 days. Here you go.
I don't know if there's an Atlantic reporter here this morning, but that's not President Trump's, they're not a fan of him, right? Yesterday they described him this way, quote, he is the most consequential American leader of the 21st century. And that's an understatement. President Trump has, here's a list, removed men from women's sports, ended DEI in the federal government and the U.S. military, expanded oil and gas extraction to lower prices, taken steps to end unfair trade practices, secured trillions of dollars in new investments in American manufacturing, deported criminal illegal aliens, stood up for religious liberty and rooted out anti-Christian bias, combated virulent anti-Semitism on college campuses. The list goes on and on and on. That's just barely scratching the surface. That's in 100 days. We're just getting started.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, one of the things I know that Governor Greg Gianforte did mention when it comes to the next 100 days of President Donald Trump is this one big beautiful bill, the Trump, and making the Trump tax cuts permanent. And then also, you know, no tax on tips, no tax on things like that. In fact, that was part of what President Trump talked about during that rally in Michigan yesterday.
In the coming weeks and months, we will pass the largest tax cuts in American history, and that will include no tax on tips, no tax on Social Security, no tax on overtime. It's called the One Big Beautiful Bill, and it will be the biggest bill ever passed in our country's history. It will include the biggest tax cuts, regulation cuts, military supremacy, and just about everything else. We will cut more than $1 trillion in wasteful and unnecessary spending. And in the next fiscal year, it'll all be done. We're going to have something that you won't even believe. We will end inflation, slash prices. We've already ended inflation, raise wages, and give you the greatest economy in the history of the world. That's already happening. With our tax bill, the average family's take-home pay will be at least $5,000 more than it was just a couple of months ago.
All right, so that's what we have to look forward to in the next 100 days. One of the things I need to read through here and share some highlights for you is this. I get White House press releases. I get, you know, news and information straight from the White House. Yesterday, we had the White House Deputy Communications Director on the show, and they put together a great summary. It is several pages long here. 100 days of hoaxes, cutting through the fake news. 100 days of hoaxes. Here's my favorite one right at the top. Well, one of my favorite ones right at the top. I haven't scrolled through the list yet here. The hoax. Fake news, CNN attempted to fact check President Trump's claim that the Biden administration spent millions on, quote, making mice transgender. Fact. After their so-called fact check was thoroughly debunked, they were forced to update it in disgrace and admit that the claim was, in fact, true. So anyway, there you go. That's where that one's right at the top of the list. That one, that was a good one. That was a good the first of many fake news hoaxes of the first 100 days of President Trump. Into the phone lines we go. We've got Thomas in Billings wanting to talk about the Montana legislature. Oh man, that's a sore subject these days, isn't it, there, Tom?
It is. And good morning, Aaron. Now, I'm really frustrated with the Montana legislature. I mean, we got the 9 Republicans that basically went Democrat. I'm hoping Greg can use his veto and line item veto. We're going to end up in a deficit, and Montana hasn't been in a deficit. The reckless spending of the legislature, they're worried about styrofoam. Okay, we got other states that are they got judges being arrested for doing the same thing that the Montana Supreme Court is doing. The legislature needs to do the power of the purse. We need to defund the Montana Supreme Court. If these judges got to start filling out their own reports and filing their own, their interpretation, there is nothing in the Constitution that says interpretation. It's called uphold the law, not interpret it, not use your own damn personal opinions. You're to uphold the law, not interpret the law. And the legislature and these rhinos that we have worried about styrofoam, really? A tax break on property taxes for every single homeowner and property owner in the state of Montana? They don't need a stimulus check.
Yeah, I did see a couple. Speaking of property taxes, I did see this headline. This is a report from Jonathan Ambarian. The Montana Senate has now endorsed a pair of property tax bills, which are now linked together. So there's an update on the property tax front there. It sounds like that hybrid plan that Speaker of the House Brandon Lear told us about 1 week ago is the plan that appears to be moving forward. It's a combination of a homestead property tax exemption for primary homeowners, smaller businesses, et cetera. And then it's also paired with a one-time $400 property tax rebate to cover this year's property taxes that people are being hit with. So those are what are linked together right now and appears to be moving here in the final few days of the legislative session. But business groups and ag groups are pushing back because, you know, they're making the point that, hey, this is just a property tax shift while you're giving relief to residential folks. Ag and business will see a hit out of this. So that's the pushback on that. I saw State Senator Greg Hertz out of Polson. He believes that a special session would be preferable. He says this plan does not get the property tax solution right. He basically said, quote, I'm fine if we just kill this thing and kill 542 and come back in a special session. We need to get it right. And we are not. basically getting it right, was the quote from State Senator Greg Hertz out of Polson. Judicial reform, I mean, that brings up another major topic that Tom, hinted at here. Seaborn and Larson has a report for the Liberal Lee newspapers here on where the judicial reform proposals sit right now. As the 2025 legislature winds down, I'm reading from his report here, Republicans' judicial reform package has eked out a handful of wins, while its premier policy proposal, dead for several weeks now, still haunts the supporters of nonpartisan judicial election. Oh, for Pete's sake, is that not the most melodramatic drama queen BS you've heard all week, practically? And there's a lot of competition. Still haunts the supporters of nonpartisan judicial election. Oh, give me a break. Haunts. Give me a break. And nonpartisan judicial. We don't have nonpartisan judicial elections when it comes to the Montana Supreme Court. We have out-of-state mega donors buying Supreme Court justices in Montana is what we have. This is some Copper Kings type of garbage that's going on in our judicial elections right now, where out-of-state mega donors, Planned Parenthood, and the rest of those crooks come in here with a pile of out-of-state money, and they basically end up deciding who these Supreme Court justices are going to be in almost every single race. And the people who are standing in the way of that reform are the very same dark money Democrat Party mega donors who want to keep it that way and want to keep these out-of-state interests having the inordinate influence over our Montana Supreme Court. And they've got a handful of Republicans that are helping them to do it and helping them to keep it that way and to take any work that they actually agree on in this legislative session and throw it in the trash can with these liberal judges. Let's see. I'll check this article out for a little bit more to see what else may still be alive when it comes to judicial reform in the final days of the legislative session. Legislative update from Jeff Lasloffy is next.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
If you look at it, very similar to where we were with the campaign, 92% negative coverage of Donald Trump through the first 100 days. I mean, it is, if you analyze World News Tonight, NBC Nightly News, the CBS Evening News, from January 20th through April 9th, 900 stories, 899 to be specific, discussing Donald Trump, the Trump administration, and they found 92.2% of the coverage is negative, only 7.8% positive. And it's just 100 days in the second term. The broadcast evening news landscape is even more lopsided. The morning shows, you know, do you think Georgie Stephanopoulos is actually any better than that? I don't think so.
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
Now, don't get suckered into the same old free phone game by Big Wireless that comes with a lot of fine print, plus, 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 plus. Oh, in other words, you pay more, more, more. At the end of the day, you paid for that, quote, free phone three times over. There is a better way. Pure Talk, my cell phone provider, a veteran-owned company, my sponsor, my wireless company, has a much better offer. A free phone with a qualifying plan for just $35 a month, and you get a brand new Samsung Galaxy A26. Just make the switch to Pure Talk for $35 a month. You get unlimited talk, unlimited text, 15 gigs of data with mobile hotspot and roaming, all on America's most dependable 5G network. Just dial #250, say the keyword save now, and Pure Talk's U.S. customer service team will help you make the switch in as little as 10 minutes. Again, #250, keyword save now. Get your free Samsung Galaxy with a qualifying plan when you switch to Pure Talk, wireless by Americans for Americans.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With partial sun and some cloudiness today, we'll see some scattered showers possible around the area. Otherwise, high temperatures will stay in the mid-50s in Bozeman, around 60 in Billings. Still seeing a few showers possible into tonight, followed by lows in the mid-30s to around 40. Spotty shower chance Thursday, mainly towards Billings, otherwise partly cloudy, with highs in the mid-upper 60s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
New details emerge in the frantic search for a missing Montana woman. We've got that story at MontanaTalks.com. Plus, a near-fatal grizzly bear attack inspires a new Montana product line. The governor celebrates the largest tax cut in the history of Montana. And Vegas, baby, Butte, Montana's touchdown Tommy Mellott headed to the Las Vegas Raiders, while Billings' own Junior Bergen is going to the San Francisco 49ers. Full story, MontanaTalks.com.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Time now for a legislative update brought to you by the Montana Family Foundation. Here's President of the Montana Family Foundation and former Speaker Pro Tem, Montana House of Representatives, Jeff Laszlocki.
With the end of the 2025 legislative session imminent, possibly just hours away, we've got good news to report on three fronts. The first two involve two bills that appear headed for the governor's desk, and the third relates to a U.S. Supreme Court hearing involving a case out of Oklahoma. First was yesterday's floor action in both the House and Senate on House Bill 682, a bill creating a private right of action that allows adults to sue for damages in cases where they underwent gender transition procedures as minors and later regretted the decision. At issue is whether a minor is truly able to give informed consent to a procedure that could leave them sterile or mutilated for life. Sadly, the growing numbers of detransitioners are now finding that the effects of the original procedures cannot be completely reversed, and they'll be forced to carry these physical and psychological scars forever. House Bill 682, in the words of one transgender lobbyist, was quote-unquote gutted by an amendment earlier this month. A compromise was reached during a conference committee, and yesterday the bill passed the Senate 44-6 and the House by a vote of 98-2. Some of the Democrat yes votes have indicated that they'll switch to no for the final vote, but these tallies are strong enough that the bill should pass both chambers. Great news for those who regret having been caught up in the social contagion agent of transgenderism at a young age. In other good news, it appears that House Bill 818 will also pass, albeit with tighter margins. That was the bill that banned foreign funding for ballot measures. You may recall that foreign money played a large role in both the abortion and ranked choice voting initiatives that were on the Montana ballot in the last election cycle. The legalization of abortion passed, and the ranked choice voting was narrowly defeated by a 49-51% margin. The results of yesterday's floor votes was 57-43 in the House and 39-11 in the Senate, with Republicans mainly voting yes and Democrats in large part voting no. While the Senate vote appears secure, today's vote in the House could be a little tighter. We'll keep you posted. And in yet another piece of good news, today the U.S. Supreme Court will hear a case out of Oklahoma that involves the nation's first religious charter school to receive public funding. The court in recent years has sided with religious schools in numerous cases, including the landmark case of Espinosa versus Montana Department of Revenue, a case the Montana Family Foundation was directly involved in. At issue in the Oklahoma case is whether or not the St. Isidore Virtual Catholic Charter School may legally accept public dollars. The Oklahoma Supreme Court said no, but the U.S. Supreme Court may use this case to further the cause of school choice nationwide. Groups like the ACLU say the Oklahoma law violates the separation of church and state, but were reminded of a Ten Commandments case out of Kentucky where a decision from the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals said, quote, the ACLU makes repeated reference to a separation of church and state. This is an extra constitutional construct that has grown tiresome. The First Amendment does not demand a wall of separation between church and state, end quote. A decision on the Oklahoma case is expected in June. Meanwhile, back in Montana, if all goes according to plan, the motion to adjourn the 2025 legislative session could come later this morning. We can only hope. For the Montana Family Foundation, this is Jeff Laszlocki reminding you that this government is your government, and your input does make a difference.
Contact the Montana Family Foundation at 406-628-1141 or on the web at montanafamily.org.
All right, very interesting there from Jeff Lasloffy. Did you catch what he said at the very end of that report? They could adjourn later today, so we'll keep an eye on that here as developments happen this morning. Man, I might hit up a couple of people to see what they're hearing as well. Judicial reform, though, they have still got to get some judicial reform across the finish line. This piece by Seaborn Larson hints that there still could be some more things in the works in some of the last-minute negotiations. So, anyway, hopefully Senate Majority Leader Tom McGilvery is able to push some of these key provisions through. More to follow. Taking your phone calls and more coming up in the 7 o'clock hour.
This is House Call for Health. The third person to receive an implant from Elon Musk's brain-computer interface company Neuralink as part of a clinical trial reveals himself.
Hi, I am Brad Smith.
Using his brain to post on X. He's from Arizona, living with ALS, and he can't speak or move. Smith relies on a ventilator for breathing. Neuralink is allowing him to communicate.
This is my old voice narrating this video.
He's typing with his brain, inviting people to ask him anything and adding thank you at Elon Musk. The circular device is about the size of five quarters stacked together, robotically implanted into the motor cortex of the brain. Threads placed a few millimeters into the brain collect neural firings that are decoded to control the computer's cursor and type messages. Smith also posting that the whole Neuralink experience has been fantastic and has improved his life so much. He says he's happy to be involved in something big that will help many people. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health on Lisa Brady, Fox News.